Social media conversation.
I'm host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Water temperatures off the coast of Florida are hitting some of the highest levels on record, creating a dire situation for the coral reefs.
We are in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about the scorching heat. Now, it's not just here in Arizona, but we're outside of Valleywise Hospital, where they're talking about influx in patients suffering from all kinds of heat-related illnesses. We're talking about heat stroke. We're talking about heat exhaustion, as well as third-degree burns.
Temperature records are continuing to be smashed across Asia, Europe, and the United States, where over 100 million people remained under extreme heat advisories. We'll go to Texas to speak with Jeff Goodell, Rolling Stone reporter, author of the new book, The Heat Will Kill You First, Life and Death on a Scorched Planet. Then, towards a new era for human rights. We are highlights from panel I moderated in Venice, Italy this weekend, marking the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I spoke with Volker Türk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Our position is very clear. I mean, cluster bombs should be prohibited.
We'll also hear from former Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström on her opposition to cluster bombs and Sweden's historic 2014 decision to recognize the state of Palestine.
We made it clear that we had no interest in making sort of Israel our enemy. We wanted to continue to work with Israel for a two-state solution, which is the decision and the position of the European Union.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Suffocating heat is gripping three continents as the summer's record-breaking temperatures continue to scorch large swaths of the United States, Asia, and Europe. 100 million U.S. residents remained under extreme heat advisories with dangerous conditions forecast this week in the South, the Southwest, and South Florida. In Arizona, an unrelenting heat wave is on track to break the previous record of 18 straight days of 110 degrees plus highs in Phoenix. That's Fahrenheit. Some of the most at risk include people who work outdoors, like construction workers, as well as unhoused people.
I've been here for 12 years, and I haven't seen nothing like it. It's hot. I fell asleep on some hot concrete, and my whole left side got third-degree burns on them. So that's an eye-opener.
Europe could record its hottest day ever on the Italian islands of Sicily and Sardinia. Over the weekend, Italian authorities issued an extreme health risk in 16 cities, including Rome and Florence. Italians flocked to lakes and seasides in an attempt to cool down.
This is not normal. I don't remember such intense heat, especially at this time of year.
In northern Syria, displaced people describe the conditions at camps as akin to living in an oven. Children and elderly people are some of the most vulnerable, have scarce options for relief amidst 108-degree Fahrenheit heat. Meanwhile, China's just recorded its highest known temperature as the thermometer hit 126 degrees Fahrenheit, smashing the previous record by 3 degrees. In South Korea, at least 40 people have died after days of torrential downpours and flooding. 12 people were killed when 16 vehicles, including a bus, got trapped and inundated in a tunnel in Cheongju after a river levee collapsed. Grief-stricken locals called out the response of authorities to the disaster.
It feels like it could have happened to me. I feel like I've died. Authorities should have restricted access to the tunnel in advance. The response was insufficient.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, who also placed blame on authorities, called for better plans to deal with weather-related disasters, which are becoming commonplace due to the climate crisis. At least 100 people have died in India this month as the monsoon continues to wreak havoc with entire towns swamped while flooding washes away vehicles, bridges and roads. Delhi has received over 90% more rainfall than is considered normal during the monsoon. But the worst flooding has been experienced in the Himalayan region of Himachal Pradesh, where new construction to accommodate tourists has worsened landslides and flooding. This is a young girl whose former school was swept away.
I used to study in the school and I felt really bad when the school building was washed away. The studies of children who are from far-off places are also suffering. I feel really sad that the children are hit by this loss. Our memories are also washed away with the school.
Here in the U.S., parts of the Northeast were pummeled with more rain over the weekend. In the Philadelphia suburbs of Bucks County, at least 5 people died after they were caught in flash flooding while in their car. At least 1,400 flights were canceled in the Northeast as of Sunday night. Meanwhile, thick smoke from hundreds of Canadian wildfires triggered air quality alerts across the Midwest, with Chicago, Minneapolis, and Milwaukee reporting unhealthy levels of air pollution. There are also warnings put out by the New York governor across the state. In the Canary Islands, Spanish authorities have evacuated more than 4,000 people from the island of La Palma as firefighters battle out-of-control wildfires. We'll have more on the global heat wave, extreme weather, and the climate crisis after headlines with Rolling Stone's reporter Jeff Goodell, author of The Heat Will Kill You First, Life and Death on a Scorched Planet. Russia says it's terminating the Black Sea grain deal, which expires today. The deal's allowed for the safe export of food and fertilizer from Ukrainian ports and was seen as essential in combating global food insecurity. Today's announcement from Moscow came hours after the bridge connecting Crimea to Russia was shut down following early morning explosions, which killed 2 people and injured a child, according to Russian officials. Ukraine did not take explicit responsibility, though Ukrainian officials told several media outlets their forces carried out the attack. On the battlefield, Ukraine says it's gradually regaining control of more territory amidst reports of intense fighting along the Eastern Front. The U.S. says it will allow European countries to train Ukrainian fighters on U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets. Meanwhile, Russia's vowed to respond in kind if Ukraine deploys cluster bombs provided by the United States. This is Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu.
I want to mark that Russia has cluster bombs for all occasions. They are more effective than American and more widely varied.
Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. are not signatories to an international treaty banning the use of cluster bombs. We'll have more on cluster bombs later in the broadcast when I speak to U.N. Human Rights Chief Volker Turk and the former Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström. Both oppose the use of cluster bombs. President Vladimir Putin said he plans to go ahead with a trip to South Africa next month to attend the BRICS summit, despite a warrant for his arrest issued by the International Criminal Court. As a member of the ICC, South Africa would be obligated to arrest President Putin. UNICEF said Friday at least 289 migrant children drowned while trying to reach Europe so far this year, around twice as many as in the first 6 months of 2022. Over 11,000 children made the treacherous journey across the Mediterranean since the start of the year, according to the UN agency. Many of them were either unaccompanied or separated from family. A UNICEF official called for better protections for young asylum seekers, lamenting, quote, hundreds of girls and boys are drowning in the world's inaction. Libyan border guards have apprehended at least 80 exhausted and dehydrated migrants after they were rounded up by authorities in neighboring Tunisia and abandoned in the desert without food, water or shelter. The group was among hundreds of black African asylum seekers forcibly expelled from the city of Sfax in Tunisia's heavily militarized border with Libya. Refugees have faced abuse from authorities on both sides of the border with accounts of rape and sexual assault. On Sunday, Tunisia's government signed a strategic partnership with the European Union, pledging to crack down on migrants attempting to cross the Mediterranean to seek asylum in Europe. The agreement comes after the European Commission said it was considering an aid package for Tunisia worth over $1 billion. In Mexico, authorities apprehended over 500 asylum seekers this weekend in the state of Veracruz as the Mexican government intensifies its crackdown on migrants attempting to reach the U.S. border. More than 200 people, including children, were found in an abandoned trailer, many of them with symptoms of severe dehydration. At least six people were arrested for their role in transporting the hundreds of migrants who were mostly from Central America and Cuba. Stricter immigration policies in Mexico and the U.S. have forced asylum seekers to rely on smugglers and take on deadly routes to reach the United States. In Mexico, a journalist was shot dead Saturday in the state of Guerrero. Nelson Matus was the director of a local news outlet that reported worsening violence in the region. Matus was gunned down while he sat in his car in the parking lot of a store in the city of Acapulco. He had survived two other assassination attempts, including one in 2019. Iran's morality police have resumed patrolling the streets for the first time since the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini in its custody in September. The morality police had largely been pulled back after Amini's death, which triggered massive nationwide protests. The move comes as Iranian authorities are escalating efforts to arrest women who are deemed in violation of the strict headscarf dress code. This is an Iranian student in Tehran.
Do you think the morality police can prevent women from not wearing a hijab? They cannot impose it like before. The number of people who do not obey is too high now. They cannot handle all of us. The last thing they can do is use violence and force against us.
Back in the United States, the Justice Department has opened an investigation into conditions at Atlanta area jails following the death of another prisoner. Fulton County officials say 19-year-old Noni Batiste Kosoko was found unresponsive in her cell in the Atlanta City Detention Center last Tuesday. She was arrested on a misdemeanor warrant and held without bond. This follows the death last year of 35-year-old LaShawn Thompson, a black man who was being held in the Fulton County Jail psychiatric wing, where his family says he was eaten alive by insects and bedbugs in his cell. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Christian Clark says the probe will look into reports of deplorable conditions in Fulton County jails, lack of access to medical and mental health care, and the use of excessive force by staff. In Washington, the House of Representatives approved a record-shattering military budget of $886 billion for the coming fiscal year. Lawmakers approved the National Defense Authorization Act Friday by a vote of 219 to 210, with all but four Democrats opposed. The legislation appears doomed in the Democratic-controlled Senate after Republicans included amendments barring the Pentagon from reimbursing the expenses of personnel who travel out of state to obtain an abortion. This is Democratic Congressman Greg Stanton of Arizona.
Today, nearly half of servicewomen no longer have access to abortion care. Many live hundreds of miles from the nearest provider. Access to abortion should not depend on where someone lives or where they are stationed. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin rightly noted that the Dobbs decision would, quote, would interfere with the U.S. military's ability to recruit, retain, and maintain the readiness of a highly qualified force.
Other amendments added by Republicans bar the Pentagon from paying for gender-affirming medical care and hormone therapy for transgender people and ban the display of LGBTQIA pride flags at military bases. House Republicans refused to allow a vote on an amendment by Democratic Congressmembers Mark Pocan and Barbara Lee that would have slashed $100 billion from the military budget. And the Education Department said Friday it's canceling $39 billion in federal student debt for over 800,000 borrowers. The plan will benefit those enrolled in income-driven repayment plans who would or should have qualified for relief after making monthly payments for 20 to 25 years, but did not because of oversight errors or shortcuts taken by loan servicers. The move, which has been in the works for at least the past year, comes 2 weeks after the Supreme Court struck down President Biden's student debt plan that would have eliminated $400 billion in student loans for some 40 million people. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now! DemocracyNow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, the heat will kill you first. Life and death on a scorched planet. We'll speak with Rolling Stone reporter Jeff Goodell about his new book.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because the vision softly creeping left its scenes while I dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp.
The Sound of Silence, version by Disturbed. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at the suffocating heat gripping three continents as the summer's record-breaking temperatures continue to scorch large swaths of the United States, Europe, and Asia. China just saw its highest temperature in recorded history, topping 126 degrees Fahrenheit, smashing the previous record by 3 degrees. In northern Syria, displaced people describe the conditions at camps as akin to living in an oven, with children and the elderly facing few options for relief from 108-degree heat. Meanwhile, a third of people in the United States face excessive heat warnings or advisories this weekend, and Europe could record its hottest day ever this week. Italian authorities issued an extreme health risk in 16 cities as extreme heat dominated news reports worldwide.
As you can see, there are lots of tourists here in Italy, and some of them have collapsed in the last few days because of heat strokes. And that includes a British tourist who passed out in front of the Colosseum.
In Spain, thermal imaging resembles the sun as ground temperatures reach a blistering 140 degrees. Forest fires ripped through the Spanish island of La Palma, destroying homes and displacing hundreds. More than 1,000 miles away, the heat fans the flames in Croatia as well.
Water temperatures off the coast of Florida are hitting some of the highest levels on record, creating a dire situation for the coral reefs.
We are in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about the scorching heat. Now, it's not just here in Arizona, but we're outside of Valley Wise Hospital, where they're talking about an influx in patients suffering from all kinds of heat-related illnesses. We're talking about heat stroke. We're talking about heat exhaustion, as well as third-degree.
The heat wave in Arizona is on track to break the previous record of 18 straight days of temperature surpassing 110 degrees Fahrenheit in Phoenix. Extreme heat now kills more people in the United States than any other extreme weather. Some of those most at risk include people who work outdoors as well as unhoused people. All this comes as a UN climate change report found the Earth could pass a dangerous temperature threshold in the next decade that could make climate disasters so extreme we will not be able to adapt unless urgent action is taken to reduce carbon emissions. For more, we're joined by longtime climate reporter Jeff Goodell, whose new book is just out, titled The Heat Will Kill You First, Life and Death on a Scorched Planet. He says he decided to write it after he walked for 10 blocks in Phoenix on a 115-degree Fahrenheit day and nearly passed out, making him realize he'd radically underestimated the dangers of extreme heat. Jeff Goodell has covered the climate crisis for over 20 years at Rolling Stone magazine. His guest essay in the New York Times is headlined "In Texas, Dead Fish and Red-Faced Desperation Are Signs of Things to Come." Jeff, welcome to Democracy Now! Congratulations on your new book. It's so important. You describe heat as the, quote, first-order threat that drives all other impacts of the climate crisis. Explain.
Well, you know, we're seeing these extreme heat events right now that you just described in your intro. It is drawing everyone's attention. But it's really important to grasp that as we burn fossil fuels and loading the atmosphere with CO2, we are, you know, the temperature, we're raising the temperature of the Earth, which is driving all of these other climate impacts that you have described and that we've talk about when we talk about climate change, like sea level rise, like drought, like the wildfires that have been burning in Canada. Heat is the primary driver for this climate transformation that we're undergoing right now. It is this invisible force that is changing our world.
So talk about your experiences of the heat yourself from Phoenix to Texas. You write in your guest essay in the New York Times, in Texas, dead fish and red-faced desperation are signs of things to come. You can argue that Texas has done this to itself. The planet is getting hotter because of the burning of fossil fuels. This is a simple truth, as clear as the moon in the night sky. No state has profited more from fossil fuels than Texas. Elaborate on this and don't speak in sound bites. Give us the whole meal.
Happily. So I moved to Texas 4 or 5 years ago, and I had lived in the Northeast. And it was really eye-opening moving here, because this Texas really is the belly of the beast when it comes to both the energy transformation and the impacts of climate change. You know, this is a state that was, you know, built around fossil fuels. There's tremendous riches here as a result of our dependence upon fossil fuels. There's tremendous sort of economic and cultural inertia around oil and gas in this state, and you feel it everywhere you go here. But it's also the state where this transformation towards clean energy is happening very quickly. We had, you know, an extreme heat dome in the last couple of weeks here. There was a lot of concern about the grid going down, and the grid was okay. And largely because of 25% of the power that was going onto the grid during this extreme heat wave was from solar power, which performs very well in hot weather and is not only more reliable, but cheaper. And so we have these Texas, even Texas, is making this sort of transformation to a cleaner grid. The problem, of course, is it is not happening fast enough. And in Texas, you feel the changing of our climate in a very dramatic way. You know, there's the risks of sea level rise in Houston. There's a $30 billion Ike Dike that's beginning to be constructed to protect the petrochemical industry and the Houston shipping channel there. There's the heat waves that we've been suffering through in the last few weeks. There's, you know, water shortages. As part of my reporting, I was in the Rio Grande Valley, one of the most productive agricultural regions in the country. And, you know, the Rio Grande is drawing to a trickle there. And so, you know, there's these cascading consequences here where you're feeling the world changing beneath our feet. And yet the kind of politics and culture of this place are lagging far behind those changes.
Jeff, we've been talking about this for, well, since it was enacted, but as the deadly heat wave grips Texas, where you are, Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill eliminating mandatory water breaks for construction workers. I want to play a clip of Ana Gonzalez, the Texas AFL-CIO Deputy Director of Policy and Politics.
Texas is the deadliest state when it comes to construction. One worker dies every 3 days in our state. In fact, more workers die of heat-related illnesses in our state than any other state.
This is the mayor of the Petro Metro, that's Houston, Sylvester Turner, who warned the bill would have devastating consequences for people working outdoors.
If House Bill 2127 is allowed to stand and it prevents municipal units of government from saying to employers that under extreme weather conditions like heat, that you can't be mandated to provide water breaks, then can you imagine the number of workers who are out there in the heat? Construction workers, people working on buildings, developments, you name it, that are going to face heat strokes. Some people will even possibly lose their lives because they're operating, working in very dangerous conditions. This bill is totally insensitive. It goes contrary to the health and well-being and welfare of workers who are out there doing working under conditions that many, if not most, folk would dare not work under.
I mean, that's the Houston Mayor Turner. Jeff, he was talking about the bill, hoping it wouldn't be passed. it has been passed and is going to soon go into effect.
Yeah, it is. And you know, Mayor Turner called it insensitive, and I would say that's a gross understatement. It's barbaric. I mean, I live here. I see what it's like working outside. I see these workers working, building, you know, the buildings that are going up here in Austin. Austin's a boom town, and there's construction everywhere. And, you know, it's hard for me during these heat waves to walk to my mailbox to check the mail. The idea that, you know, you're working on a rooftop or laying asphalt outside in this heat, and it's you're forbidden from taking water and shade breaks. I mean, it's just like back to, you know, kind of Sinclair Lewis's The Jungle. I mean, I don't know how to explain this other than to talk about, you know, a kind of, you know, there's a kind of racism to this. You know, the many of the workers here that are keeping the state going are Mexican. They're coming across the border. They're work incredibly hard. You know, it's just, you know, a kind of politics that's rising here in Texas that I have no kind of good moral explanation for how this can be justified in any way. And in my book, I write about the death of an agricultural worker named Sebastian Perez, not in Texas, but in Oregon, who died in the fields because he was afraid that if he took a water break and a shade break, he would lose his job. And so this kind of this law that the governor, this legislation that the governor has signed, is going to directly result in the deaths of many Texans.
In your new book, The Heat Will Kill You First, Life and Death on a Scorched Planet, Jeff Goodell, you write about what happens to our bodies as the heat rises above 107 degrees Fahrenheit. You say as the heat rises, the proteins unfold and the bonds that keep the structures together break. At the most fundamental level, your body unravels. Your insides melt and disintegrate. You're hemorrhaging everywhere. Take it from there, Jeff.
Well, that's sort of the end. To begin, you know, our bodies are finely tuned machines that work in a very narrow temperature range. All of us understand that intuitively. If you have a temperature of 100 degrees, you know something's going on in your body. If you have a temperature of 101 or 102, you're calling the doctor. If you have a temperature of 105, you're going to the hospital. We all know this in our lives. But we don't understand the risks of that, you know, in an outdoor environment and in these kinds of extreme heat events. What happens when your body gets hot is we only have one mechanism to cool down, and that is sweat, as we all know. When it gets hot, our heart starts pumping faster, and it's pushing the blood away from our internal organs and away from our brains, which is one of the reasons why you get kind of dizzy or hallucinogenic or lightheaded when you're suffering from extreme heat. And it, as it pushes the blood away from the internal organs towards our skin to cool off through sweating, it puts enormous strain on a heart. And so a lot of people who are the most vulnerable to heat are people who have heart conditions, circulatory issues, taking medications that are related to that. And your body is in this sort of desperate attempt to dissipate this heat. And when you're an outdoor worker, when you are in an environment that your body just can't sweat enough, or either because you're not drinking enough water and you loses the ability to sweat, or you just simply can't kind of dump enough heat out of your body to keep your internal body temperature from rising above 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, then the things start happening that you described, which is you're literally the membranes of your cells begin to melt. The proteins that control the functions of those cellular structures begin to unfold, and your body kind of literally melts from the inside. And it's a horrible way to go, and it's something, you know, most people who die of heat stroke don't get that far. It's usually a heart attack or something like that that is the cause of death. But it's also one reason why heat mortality is dramatically underestimated in our accounting of it, because unlike a knife or a gunshot, there is no kind of heat wound when someone dies from extreme heat. So a lot of people die of heart attacks or other circulatory problems, and they're never diagnosed as heat deaths. And so these sort of mortality numbers that you were citing in the opening and that I cite in my book are widely understood to be grossly underestimated.